If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I'll read it. Listen now to the word of God. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message. Lord, would you speak to us in a voice so clear today that we wouldn't miss it? And Lord, when we hear it, would you give us the strength to make the adjustments that are necessary in our lives so that we could be people of your word, so that we could live by what we hear? Lord, too often we want to live according to our own thoughts, our own ways, or the set patterns of behavior that we've become accustomed to. But Lord, as you ask us to move in different directions, when you ask us to live by your word, help us to submit and to obey. Lord, we want to live by the things that give us life, life-giving words, words that really give us purpose and direction. So Lord, would you speak to us and would you guide us? Lord, may we not be so stubborn. May we not be like sheep that want to go our own separate way. But Lord, help us to follow the shepherd, knowing that you're leading us to the right place. Lord, we thank you. We trust in you. Holy Spirit, would you come, open up our hearts, open up our ears, so that we could listen with spiritual ears. Lord, we thank you, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have a very short passage here today. It's just a little bit of almost an introduction, a reintroduction that Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's giving an idea of the way that people should view the apostles, the way that people should view him. And so he's giving the people a little bit of a background into his identity. And in order for us to fully understand the importance of this, there are going to be several analogies. It's not really several. It's going to be one main analogy. So one main line, one main thread that I'm going to try to relate this passage to. And hopefully as we put those two things together, as we put the passage together with the analogy, hopefully it'll become something that we can understand, something that we can live by, something that we can really take into our hearts so that it becomes part of our identity, part of who we are, and the way that we live in this world as well. So what is Paul speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? He's just giving an idea of the way that people should view them because they had some incorrect ideas. They had some perceptions about the apostles, the way that they viewed their teachers. And some of it was steeped in history, some of it was steeped in culture, but the way that they were acting towards the apostles was not exactly proper. And maybe in some ways, that's why they get kind of in trouble. They get scolded in the chapter before because they're starting to follow after Apollos. They're following after Paul. You know, some people say that Cephas is right, you know, and they're having all these kinds of disagreements and divisions based on the leaders of their church. And to clear that up, to give them a better sense, he opens chapter 4. It's right after he does his whole scolding about following people and reminding them that the gospel is at the center. And he opens up with, but this then, you know, this is how you should see us. This is the way that you should see us. This is our identity as servants of Christ. So he says, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. See, that's what Paul sees himself as. Servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. And those are and some of those phrases are what we are going to focus on. That's what we're going to highlight today. Because part of it and the suggestion or the thing that I'm going to kind of offer to you today is that this is part of the way that we should see ourselves as well. I know that we are not exactly apostles. No one goes up to you and goes like, oh, hello, apostle. We're not exactly apostles. But as people who know who God is, as people of Christ's family, people who have accepted the gospel, if you know Jesus Christ, if you know him in his death and his resurrection, then this is part of our identity as well. This is what Paul is speaking about when he says that he's a servant of Christ and those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. So in some ways, the translation that we get in the NIV, it makes this a little bit more challenging. But actually that word that says those entrusted, you know, it's a word that in the Greek, it means, it's the word that they use for someone that's kind of the manager of the household, a steward, someone that is in charge of things, someone that is given responsibilities, given some tasks, but they're not the owner. They're not the one that has ownership of their property. So it's kind of like a household manager, a steward. And that's what the word is right there when we see as those entrusted. And so in Craig Keener's book about the New Testament, he explains this job. He explains this in the cultural sense. And he says these people who were stewards or house managers, they were usually people of pretty high esteem. You know, it was people that worked hard, or they had some kind of trust with them, or they had worked in the household for a very long time. And the owner of the property would give that person certain responsibilities, but they had a certain level of prestige in the community. And they had a certain level of responsibility that went beyond just regular servants. And so that's what a steward is, someone that can make decisions. And mundane things, day-to-day things, those kinds of things, the master didn't have to worry about those things. They left it in charge of the stewards. The stewards had a little bit more insight into what the master wanted. The steward, having worked with the master for a long time, understood certain things about the master's taste or the way that the things should be done. And so when we get this translation about this idea of like mysteries, right? I think it's kind of an interesting translation sometimes. I think in some ways it's because we have a hard time translating the Greek. Now, the Greek word that they're used for these, the times that you guys see mysteries, it really has to do with something that is not known to many, but is known to few. It's like this idea of something that is being slowly revealed through a certain privileged group. And so, you know, that doesn't fit in one word, right? So they use mysteries. And then they say mysteries being revealed or mysteries that God has revealed. But that's the idea. The idea is that there's this property manager who has an idea of what the master wants. He's privy to a little bit more information. He has a little bit more understanding. And because of that, he's able to dispense some of the work. He's able to dispense some of the orders, some of the commands that the master might make himself, and he's able to share that with the other workers. You see, that's the idea that Paul had about apostleship. That's what he thought when he was called by Christ, that he had received something from God, that he learned something from God. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery in the fact that like, oh, I don't understand it, and I'm just gonna speak about things and hopefully the Holy Spirit will take over and, you know, you'll understand what I'm saying. But even though I don't understand what I'm saying, that's not what mysteries is. It's not something that's so far beyond our grasp that we can't understand it. It's something that's known to few, something that's known and is being revealed over time. And that's something that's trusted, entrusted to these people. That's something that they have stewardship over. That's something that's a responsibility that's been placed on these people, the apostles. And that's something that Paul took very seriously. He's a servant of Christ. He's serving Christ, but he's entrusted with something super important, something super powerful. And it's being revealed. It's something that was revealed to him, and it's something that he's trying to share, trying to give and impart to others as well. And so, sorry about my voice. I don't know what's going on with my voice today, but and so, when I was thinking about this, when I was reading this, and I was thinking about this sermon, it led me to an analogy. It led me to an illustration. And there could only be one illustration in this case, in my mind. It reminded me of the Lord of the Rings. And I will tell you, if you have not watched Lord of the Rings, today's sermon will be full of spoilers, but it is not my fault. That movie's like over 10 years old, so I'm sorry about that. I apologize. If you really, really were like saving it for a special occasion, then I forgive you for closing your ears or exiting the sanctuary. The idea that I had, you know, with this idea of stewardship, with responsibility, you know, this great power, this great thing that can give life, and this powerful thing that's being entrusted to someone, it reminded me of Frodo Baggins, you know, this little hobbit. You know, in this story of The Lord of the Rings, there's this thing called the Ring of Power, and it was created by Sauron, and whoever possesses that ring, they have great power. They can dominate anyone else. And so throughout the ring's history, it goes through this time, this period of it falls into different hands. And based on who's controlling it, I guess their race or their group, they're dominant. They're able to overpower other groups. And so there are these great wars that happen between humans, between elves, between dwarves, you know, also the orcs. And this guy Sauron behind the ring, you know, he knows kind of the greed of people's hearts. He knows that people will want that ring, that they desire that ring, that it's irresistible to people. And so as the movie goes, I'm sorry, I'm really going to give like a lot of the plot. So if you didn't watch it, you don't have to watch it after you listen to the sermon. But the idea is that they have this ring and they know that they have to destroy the ring. They know that for there to be peace in their world, they need to destroy this ring. Because any time throughout history that anyone has held the ring, there's always been war. There's always been fighting. And so they have kind of an idea. They discover the ring, and they have kind of a council. And they're deciding who's going to take this ring, and who can carry this ring. Who's going to be the one to make the journey to destroy this ring? And of course, you know, they have this argument. And the humans are like, oh, we should take it. You know, like we're physically, you know, dominant. We have armies. We can protect the ring. And then they have the elves, you know, and they're like, oh, no, like that's not, like, why would we give the ring over into your hands? And the dwarves are like, oh, we should take the ring. You know, like that's our responsibility. We should be the ones to be entrusted with the ring. And in the end, the decision, it kind of falls to this volunteer of this little hobbit. And if you know a little bit about the lore of The Lord of the Rings, hobbits are very small people. They're not very strong. They're not very imposing. They're not particularly good at fighting. They're basically the weakest, most vulnerable group that exists in this world. But Frodo Baggins stands up and he says, I'll take the ring. I'll bear the weight of this ring. And because he's kind of an outsider, and in some ways because he's from the smallest group, he's from the weakest group, he doesn't pose a threat to them, they kind of look at him and thinking about all the different variables, they say, okay, you take the ring. That's a good idea. You know, Gandalf the wizard, he blesses that decision, and Frodo begins this journey, this like almost 9-hour journey, if you know the trilogy, to get the ring to Mordor, to throw it into the fires, to throw it into kind of like the lava, to destroy the ring. But if you think about who Frodo Baggins is, if you think about who that guy is, just as a person, right, just as a character, Frodo Baggins ends up being kind of the hero, right? He's kind of the hero of this movie. But the center point of all the movies is actually the ring. It's not really Frodo. Frodo doesn't really add anything. He's only important because he's carrying the ring. And Frodo has nothing about him that's special. He's not strong. He doesn't have any special powers. He's tiny with furry feet, and he's very weak. He can't fend for himself. You know, time and time again throughout that movie, he has to be rescued by other people. He has to be helped along his journey. You see, Frodo is not the hero. He's not really the superstar. It's really the fact that he's just carrying the ring that makes us interested in him. But he's placed with this responsibility, And in the movie, they really hype up how big that responsibility is. You know, it's the fight versus good and evil. If you fail this plan, then something very terrible happens. There are consequences to you not reaching your destination. Something terrible will happen if that ring does not get destroyed. And so Frodo becomes this person, a steward of the ring. He becomes the one to carry that responsibility. And because of that, he's vulnerable. He's attacked, he's chased, he's pursued. He has a very difficult life sometimes. But also because of that, he gets to go on an adventure. He gets to make friends. You know, it changes the destiny of his regular life. He's not just in the Shire. He's not just running around playing with his friends, you know, eating food and running around. No, he has to do something. And that road is very difficult. That road is very hard. But he's been placed with a responsibility, and he feels obligated to see it to the end. At no point in that movie does he go, well there are some times, well, I don't want to give too big of a spoiler. There are some times where he wants to quit. But the point of his character, the point of the movie is that he doesn't stop, that he faces so many challenges, that he faces so many struggles and obstacles, but he continues on with his journey. He doesn't just toss the ring aside. He knows that that ring is precious. He knows that it's super important, that he is holding on to something that really has the fate of many in its hands. I want you to think about that kind of responsibility. I want you to think about whether you've been living your life as if you've been placed with that sort of responsibility. I want you to think about the way that you live your daily life, the way that you walk when you wake up, the decisions that you make, the way that you speak to people, the way that you relate to people. Are you living your life as if you are on this type of journey? Have you faced any struggles in your life that compare to the difficulties that Frodo had as he was walking on that road, trying to complete his task because he was given something great, something of great power, a great responsibility? If I think about Frodo Baggins' life, it reminds me a little bit about the life of Paul. I know it's a little bit weird, it's a fictional character, but it reminds me of the life of the Apostle Paul. He knew that he had received something that was so important, that was so powerful. And he was entrusted with this thing. He was a steward of it. He doesn't own it. You know, throughout the trilogy of the Lord of the Rings, the struggle that Frodo has is that he starts wanting ownership of the ring. He starts having times where he goes, it's mine, you can't have it. But the good thing about Frodo is he realizes over and over again, he doesn't fall to that temptation. He knows that it's not his. He knows that he's just holding on to it for the journey, that he needs to get it somewhere. He's just a delivery person. He's just a steward of that ring. See, and I think that Paul had that understanding as well, that he was on this journey, that he was on this path that was set before him. His destiny was changed because he received something. When Christ revealed himself to Paul on that road to Damascus, Paul received something. He was entrusted with something that he knew that he needed to spread to others, because if he didn't, there would be consequences. And if that is the truth, if that is what the way that Paul viewed things, then verse 2 says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust, that those stewards must prove faithful, must be trustworthy, must live in accordance, or must live as representatives of their master. You see, that's the idea that they're trying to play with here, that stewardship has to do with representing your household. You're not yourself. You're not just representing yourself when you're a steward. You're representing your master. So when you're out in the market, when you're doing work for the house, the way that you present yourself, the way that you speak, you're representing someone greater than yourself. It's not just about your family name. You're representing your master. And so you have to do things that are inclined and in favor of your master. And so if you've been given a trust, you have to prove to be faithful, you have to prove to be trustworthy, and you have to prove to be loyal. And that's what this verse is saying. And everyone that was hearing this, and they understood this culturally, and they understood what a house manager was about, what a steward was, they would all understand. Yeah, of course. Otherwise, you get fired. Otherwise, you get kicked out into the street. Otherwise, you get put into jail, you know, for doing things dishonestly. But people who have been given something, especially the more power you have, the more responsibility you have, it is required, not optional. It's not something that changes day to day. It's not something that changes based on your circumstance. If it benefits you for one day to act in favor of the master, or maybe it'll make me look better today to act in favor of my master. Maybe in certain settings, maybe depending on my mood, maybe depending on my resources, I will act in favor of my master today. But that's not the life of a steward. That's not the life of someone who has been entrusted with something powerful. And it's not something that's optional, on and off. It is required that those who have been given a trust must be faithful, must be trustworthy. I want us to think about the life that we've been living. I want us to think about what has been entrusted in our care. What has been revealed to us? What do we know about Christ? These are things that we are supposed to be taking care of. These are things that are responsibilities that have been given to us and placed inside of our hearts so that we can walk this road faithfully, so that we can walk this road as a trustworthy servant of Christ. And it's not something that is just something to do on a good day, or when you're in the mood for it, when you're in a church setting, but it's something that is required of you. It was required of Frodo to reach the end, to cross the finish line, and to destroy the ring. And if he hadn't, the consequences would have been dire. All of history for them in that movie, obviously, would have been different. What about for us? What about if you think about the gospel message? What about if you think about the consequences of not sharing the word of God to others? What about if you think about the lives that people are living because they don't know the hope, they don't know the joy, they don't know the peace of knowing Jesus Christ? You see, this is more than just something to do on a Sunday. This is more than just something that you do because it helps you get it connected with a community. It's more than just something that you do because you think it's good for kids. It's much greater, much deeper, and there are greater consequences. We are all stewards of the word of Jesus Christ, of the gospel message, of the hope that the Lord has extended to us. And we're able to share that. We're able to spread that to others around us. And I know that sometimes, you know, we don't like to fulfill that role. We don't like to take that. It feels like a heavy burden. You know, we think, why don't I just go back to my life? And Frodo Baggins said that the whole time. Man, Sam, I just wish that we were back at the Shire. I just wish that we were back at the Shire. Yeah, when things are scary, when things are hard, when there are obstacles in your way, you always want to go back to your comfort. You always want to go back to who you were when you didn't have that responsibility inside of your heart. So sometimes as Christians, even knowing what we know, knowing that the life that others are living would lead to death, we'd rather pass that responsibility on to others. We don't want to take hold of it. But as servants of Christ, as those who know Jesus Christ, those who have received the revelation of who God is, it is required of us, those who are stewards, to be faithful to God, to work according to his plan, to do things in favor of his kingdom, to do things that represent him well. That's Paul's understanding of apostleship. That's who he thought he was. And my suggestion to you today is that's how we have to start seeing ourselves as well. That we carry the gospel with us, that we carry light with us. And it is our responsibility to share that with others. That we have to be faithful and trustworthy to the King. That we have to walk in integrity so that people around us might find the power that is Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, that they might find his grace, that they might receive his love, that they might receive salvation. You are the group that this has been entrusted to. You and I are the stewards of this power. What will you do with it? Will you carry that responsibility? Will you carry that burden? Will you live your life so that these things can be passed on to others around you? It is required of us as stewards of the gospel to live this life. It is required of us as managers of God's house to live this life. Let us pray. God, would you shake us and move us? Would you convict our hearts? Would you give us strength and courage? For we know that the journey is rough. We know that it's hard. We know that there are obstacles. Sometimes it scares us. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. We'd rather just live our comfortable lives. But Lord, you've given us something. And this something can change people, can change hearts, it can change the world. So Lord, as your people, as your stewards, may we carry that responsibility well. May we take it seriously. May we understand that it is required of us as Christians in this world to be light, to speak life to the people around us. And may we not pass on or shirk the responsibility, but take it full on, knowing that you are going to be with us, knowing that there will be a fellowship around us to help us to get through the difficulties. Lord, we thank you for this word. May it go deeply inside of our hearts, and may we start living it in our lives. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.